Welcome to the Christian Bible Church Podcast, where the weekly preaching ministry of the Christian Bible Church can be heard. For more information about the Christian Bible Church, please visit us on our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us. Today we're going to be in Psalm 107. We're going to read the entire psalm. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of Yahweh say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to Yahweh in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank Yahweh for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God, spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to Yahweh in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank Yahweh for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to Yahweh in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank Yahweh for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Let them offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, and tell of His deeds and songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of Yahweh and His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men, and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to Yahweh in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank Yahweh for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol Him in the congregation of the people, and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste, because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there He lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards, and get a fruitful yield. By His blessing, they multiply greatly, and He does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, He pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But He raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of Yahweh. This psalm is made up of four pictures that follow the same pattern and form one theme. This would indicate that rather than speaking of four independent events, we're actually seeing four sides of the same thing. Think of it as an exercise of picking an object up and turning it over and looking at each of the different sides. And so it begs the question then, what is this psalm about? What is the object that we're being asked to consider and asked to look at? And the answer is found actually in the last verse of the psalm, which says, "Whoever is wise, let him attend to or observe these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of Yahweh." So as you can see, this psalm is actually a love poem. It's actually a love psalm. It is a poem that calls us to the consideration of the steadfast or faithful, loyal love of Yahweh. It is a poem about the lost finding a home, about a prisoner being set free, about the broken being made whole, and those in turmoil finding peace, all because of the love of a wondrously faithful God. So the first picture we come to is a love that brings us home. It's presented to us as a wanderer in a desert, finding no secure place to dwell, no city to dwell in. Now, to the Jew, this would remind them of their history of being in Egypt, of desert wanderings, of a time of exile. We can hear the promises found in the covenant and the prophets reminding the people of God's faithfulness to His children, promising to gather them together, promising them safety and security and dwelling in their land, promises to gather them from where they've been scattered to. We see this even here where it talks about the east, the west, the north, and the south. For us, it reminds us of two things. The first is the promise of God to seek and to save the lost. Throughout the Gospels, we are presented with parables and events that show Jesus acting as the one who would save the lost. Think of the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the pearl of great value. Think of Jesus seeking out Matthew, seeking out Zacchaeus, and even crossing the sea to the man among the tombs. Jesus goes so far to explicitly state it in Luke 19:10, where he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." For us, can you recall the time when you were sought after and saved? Can you recall a time of wandering, a time of wandering in a parched land, blinded by the things of this world with a mouth full of sand? Can you recall the wash of relief and the joy that overcame you when you felt that love that brought you home, that gave you a sense that you were a lost child brought back to your father? Jesus was sent for this very purpose. And through the power of the Spirit of God, is still bringing lost children home. A second reminder for us is found in Jesus' words in John 14:1-3. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Family, we all understand that Jesus isn't bodily among us. We know that He ascended and He is seated at the right hand of the Father, where He's advocating for us this very day. But here we see that He says, "I'm leaving to prepare." And so we can see that Jesus is preparing, awaiting a day to return, to come as a conquering king in order to gather to Himself us to be with Him. This is hope that we long for, that the steadfast love of God would bring us home. That is, to dwell in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Son, as one people of God, gathered from all peoples, nations, and tongues, from all corners of the earth. It is our faith in this love that lets us hope for those who died before this day has come. And they hope for the resurrection here's a promise that's given in 2 Corinthians 4, 14 through 16. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Our inner self being renewed by the knowledge of a love that brings us home. So we give thanks to that love. We give thanks to the love that brought us home in the gospel, but also that will return to bring us home to dwell with our Messiah forever and ever. Amen. The second picture that we encounter is that of a prisoner in darkness, which reminds us of a love that sets us free. Notice this prisoner is called as one who rebelled against the words of God and fell under the curses that were promised in the law. Just like the man among the tombs, we were once slaves to sin and death. We were trapped in bondage to the will of our flesh, set as an enemy of God. The imagery used throughout Scripture of enslavement and bondage should both be alarming to us and heartbreaking. The depth of the damage for the fall of Adam goes far deeper than we often understand. And yet, we see it outworking each day around us. And the heartbreaking truth is that most people are happily ignorant prisoners. But there are those who, in their sorrow and their misery, cry out to God. And they encounter a love that sets them free. With Jesus' death and resurrection and the work of the Spirit of God, we have been set free. Romans 8:2 teaches us that the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Enslaved by Jesus, we have been set free from sin and death. We have been set free from being enslaved to our own flesh. We are set free from being enslaved to the desires of this world. You no longer have to submit to the cruel master that once corrupted our lives, that once ruined the good gifts that have been given to us. Through the powerful love of God, we have been set free, as Colossians puts it, we've been transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son, where we are truly free from those chains. The Puritan William Gurnall described the human will this way: what the foot is to the body, the will is to the soul. Enslaved by sin and death, we cannot and will not live a life that is pleasing to God. Our will, like a foot trapped in a shackle and bound to a prison wall, prevents us from being able to escape. But by the grace of God, through the rescuing work of Jesus, that chain has been broken. And that will of ours has been set free. Beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news, and beautiful is the will that has been set free to live a life that glorifies God. A third picture that we encounter is that of a fool suffering from famine and illness, left broken at the gates of death. It is here that we encounter a love that makes us whole. The prophet Isaiah describes the mission of the Messiah in Isaiah 61 as this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because Yahweh has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of Yahweh's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a faint spirit." Jesus' mission in coming was to make his brothers and sisters whole once again. What sin and death had broken, Jesus came to heal. This healing for us, we see it come in two forms: loving discipline, and loving comfort. As you've already seen, our wills have been deeply corrupted by the effects of sin. Ephesians makes the claim and goes so far as to say that we're dead in our trespasses. We're dead in our sins before the loving action of Jesus. But once we are raised into the newness of life, found through the work of the Spirit in regeneration and through salvation, what comes next? The answer is loving discipline. We enter into the discipline of our loving Father to be conformed into the image of His Son, into the image of Jesus, that we may be like Him. Hebrews 12:6, quoting Proverbs 3:12, says, "For the Lord disciplines the one He loves, and He chastises every son whom He receives." The love of God does not save us to simply leave us as we are. You could think of it as being pulled out of the mud but left dirty. He doesn't do that. Instead, His love gradually transforms us, gradually chisels us, gradually cleans us in order for us to be as Jesus is, a faithful, loving, obedient child, even to the point of death, in order to bring glory to His Father. We too, under the loving discipline of God, through submission to the Scriptures and through the leading of the Spirit of God, are being transformed. The second healing that comes in the form of loving comfort in our current sufferings and our sorrow. In this life, in this world, we've been told we will have trials. We will experience much heartache, much pain. And whether it be physical affliction from disease or hardship, whether it's emotional pain from loss, it's heartache, or chastisement for being different from the world around us, we can expect to experience suffering and sorrow. However, in the midst of that brokenness, we can also experience the healing or being made whole through the love of God. Psalm 34:18 says, "Yahweh is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." Psalm 147:3 says, "He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Hebrews draws our eyes in Hebrews 12 to the founder and perfecter of our faith and the suffering that He endured. Consider the end of Hebrews 11 and into Hebrews 12, where Paul says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." Just prior to 12, you have, you know, the hall of faith. And it ends with speaking of those who have suffered, been sawn in two, tormented and martyred. Those who we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. "Let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus, who considered the joy of seeing His Father's plan complete, for the joy of seeing His brothers and sisters from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue, standing with Him in the kingdom, for that joy, He endured it all. He endured the mocking. He endured not having things. He endured the suffering for that. And we too, when our eyes are fixed on Him and the promise of what is to come, we can have our heartaches, our brokenness healed. We can be made whole, full and content in every situation, anticipating the day when we are with Him in His kingdom. And that leads us to our last picture that we're shown here, which is a ship in the midst of an angry sea made calm. In this picture, we are shown a love that gives us peace. Peace that we're given is threefold. Hear the words of Romans 5:1-5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The first peace that we are given is a peace that comes from knowing that this love reconciles our sins through our debt being paid. That's what justified by faith is. Our past sins, some of the things that we know we have done, are forgiven. Our present sins, the mistakes that we daily make, they're already forgiven. And how about our future sins? They've been paid for once and for all. We have been made peace with God once and for all. The second peace that we see given to us secures us in our present circumstance. And this is when Paul says, rejoice in our sufferings. This peace enables us to not only endure our suffering, not only endure it, but actually rejoice in them. This is reinforced when we consider Isaiah 26:3, who says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Third peace that we see here is then a peace that guides our future hopes and our future desires. And Paul uses this word endurance and hope, and he builds that little chain together. And this is a peace that results in safety and security about our future. It goes without saying that the last year or so has been uncertain, whether from a pandemic or from our own personal experiences, that we experience uncertainty and unrest daily. But because of the peace that comes from God, we can instead rest in the hope that we have for the kingdom to come, of what is coming. That is why Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, tells them to let the peace of Christ rule in their hearts. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you indeed were called in one body, and be thankful. We rest in the sovereignty and security of the love of God that will not fail us. We dwell securely amidst strife, amidst trials, amidst trouble, heartache, and difficulty. We can face that suffering and adversity knowing that we are in the boat with the one who commands the wind and the waves. So, encountering these four pictures and looking at this object of God's love, the final question that we face then is how to experience that powerful love. And that pattern is seen clearly in this psalm. It's seen in four places, just as we have four images. And that pattern is the simple, humble act of crying out to God in prayer. Verses 6, 13, 19, and 28 say the same thing each time. As we consider the pictures of God's love that we have encountered, we learn that the love of God is accessed through the act of humbling ourselves in the midst of these circumstances. Understand, there is no amount of human spirit or resiliency that can enable us to reach the end of these sufferings and have hope. There is no amount of feel-good anecdotes, coffee mugs, pictures, Facebook posts, whatever it is, there is no amount of that will give you the strength to endure the pains of this life and still have hope for the future. And yet, when we take our broken hearts, we take our bent knees and turn to the sovereign God of all things in the simple act of crying out to Him, we see that He delivers. In the midst of the storm, God sovereignly acts. And the power of experiencing this sovereign love changes everything. Because we were lost, but now we're found. We were slaves, but now we're free. We were dead, but now we're alive. We're tossed about by the storm, but we have peace. And so at this point, we have taken the wisdom offered by the psalmist to consider. We've taken time to consider the faithful love of the Father, and it leaves us with the challenge of then, what is the appropriate response to such a love? And in consideration of that love, the psalmist clearly shows that the appropriate response is thankfulness. Hopeful thankfulness. This is reinforced through the scriptures. You could hear it today. In Colossians, Paul adds it like mom's note, where she's telling you all the things she wants to do, and then she adds something at the very end after it's written, where he says, and be thankful. Be thankful. As we close, let our hearts rejoice and worship in the act of a thankful prayer to God for His faithful love. A faithful love that brings us home. His faithful love that sets us free. His faithful love that makes us whole. And His faithful love that gives us peace. So let the redeemed give thanks. Let's pray. God, as Your redeemed gathered here, we do give thanks. We give thanks to You that Your love is faithful, that it will not fail us, that Your love brings us home, Your love sets us free, Your love makes us whole in our brokenness, and Your love brings us peace. And so we give thanks to You that we have these things through You. We pray that our eyes will be fixated on that and on You. And that as we go, we would make it a practice of giving thanks for this wonderful, faithful love that You've given us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Bible Church podcast. Have questions? Visit our webpage at christianbiblechurch.us to contact us. Feel free to subscribe to receive new podcasts automatically. Until next time, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.